listening to that, commentators Charlie Wolfe and Eamon McCann. Charlie Wolfe, it seems that perhaps, according to what we're reading and what we're hearing this morning, that basically a lot of MPs, including 30 Conservatives, weren't particularly willing to take the Prime Minister at his word.
Well, I can understand, but let me just very briefly try and answer just a couple things that Geoffrey Donaldson said. I think a very well-argued and very well-reasoned case on his part, but a couple things that come to mind. First off, I'm not going to accuse him of giving succor to Assad. I don't think it's quite like that. But that said, the threat of force is probably the best way to avoid the use of force. We've in a sense, let him off the hook. We couldn't even make a statement, as though even though individual members deplored the use of chemical weapons, the House could not, as a body, make a statement deploring what happened in Syria. And I think Mr. Assad was watching that and took note of it. I think also I understand the case of saying, if what happens if we get involved? But you know, what happens if we don't get involved? People were worried 3 years ago saying, if we get involved, Al-Qaeda will get involved. Well, we didn't get involved, and Al-Qaeda are involved. So in other words, sitting by watching a man bleed to death and doing nothing is not the equivalent of doing no harm. Yes, there are risks, and there should be something that should be done. Now, all of that said, where I agree wholeheartedly with a lot of what MPs were feeling and saying, is Mr. Obama has not handled this well at all. He's been very muddled in his message, and for instance, he's saying at one point Assad must go, but now he says this is not about regime change. I think it was it Paul Flynn of Labour. As much as I disagree with him, I have to agree with his point of saying, are we doing this just for Mr. Obama's? You know, Mr. Obama had made this red line in the sand. Well, in that respect, yes, I think a shot across the bow, as Mr. Obama is talking about, is not the correct response. If we're going to do just a shot across the bow, as Charles Krauthammer in the States has said on many occasions, then yes, we should do nothing. We need to do something that will strategically change the course of the war.
So in terms of arguing the case, that this idea that it was down to a fatally flawed case put by the Prime Minister and Nick Clegg, you think that's the crux of this?
Well, I'm not sure if it's totally a fatally flawed case by the Prime Minister. I mean, in some respects, I think he made a very good case. I didn't, unfortunately, hear Mr. Clegg, but I did hear the Prime Minister's speech, and I think it was, in many ways, very well put.
Okay. Eamon McCann, what did you make of the case that was put forward? I mean, how are you feeling about what happened at Westminster last night?
Well, I'd welcome it insofar as it's a vote against a military intervention, and I think it reflects a what would appear to be the overwhelming opinion of people across the water, and I would think people on this island and elsewhere as well. Sort of, and I also think that people are alert to the bottomless hypocrisy which is involved in the arguments being put forward for intervention. I mean, we've heard a lot, even in this programme, about what can be done about the use of chemical weapons and the responsibility of the world and so forth. Well, if chemical weapons are absolutely unacceptable, why don't the nations which have the most chemical weapons, the major stores of chemical weapons, why don't they give them up? And I'm referring to the United States, to Russia, to China, to Britain, to the major powers. They've all got a chemical weapons capability. Why? What for? What do they intend to use these weapons for? What's more, the biggest and most appalling use of chemical weapons in our lifetime was in Halabja, in Iraq, in August 1988, by Saddam Hussein against a Kurdish town of about 40,000 people, just bigger than Oma. Up to 5,000 people were killed in that attack. Not a few hundred, 5,000 people. I say it again, in a town around the size of Oma. Think about that. What was the reaction in the West? What did people do? Nothing. In fact, the Bush administration vetoed a resolution in the U.S. Congress to condemn that attack and to ask for sanctions and the increase in sanctions. The Americans advanced $1 billion loan to Saddam after that. It wasn't until Saddam invaded the oil-rich stateland of Kuwait that the West changed sides in the Iran-Iraq war and stopped supplying Saddam Hussein. So the hypocrisy involved in this It's absolutely dreadful. I heard this morning the terrible news, and it is terrible news, that it seems that napalm was used in Aleppo in the last 24 hours. Who has used napalm? Who introduced the world to the word napalm, if not the Americans and Vietnam? Never apologised for it. Never said we're terribly sorry. That was very, very wrong. We'll never do it again. And yet here we hear this morning on radio broadcasts that the use of napalm is absolutely unacceptable.
So what should the West do? What should the West do, Eamon McCann?
Nothing. West should do nothing. What is the West doing there anyway? What about our responsibility?
So in terms of when the Prime Minister says sit idly by, you think he's actually got it right?
But they haven't been sitting idly by. That's the whole point.
No, but from this point on,
the attempts to dominate the Middle East are one of the major factors behind the instability there. Britain and France are the two countries which historically have actually drawn the boundaries. They invented Iraq, they invented Syria, drew the boundaries to officials, Sykes and Pico, way back many years ago. They've been there ever since, meddling, intervening, supporting dictators here, putting down rebellions there. Winston Churchill talking about the use of gas against the Kurds and advocating it. That's the history. That's the history of this place. And then people come along now, in 2013, and think, shouldn't we intervene? It's this intervention, and not just by the West. Russia has got a major base, a sea base, a navy base, out of in Syria. So it's got an interest there too, which it's got no right to. The major powers are playing ducks and drakes with the lives of people. This red line of Obama, the red line is drawn in Syrian blood.
Eamon,
that's what they should do.
Stay where you are, if you would. Also, Charlie Wolfe will bring you back in very, very soon. Number of callers on this as well, 08459 555 678. We'll pause briefly for the latest news headlines with Anne-Marie Foster. We're talking about Syria this morning and that defeat last night for the Prime Minister. Dramatic night in the House of Commons. No military intervention coming from Britain. Peter is on the line this morning. Morning, Peter.
Hello, how are you doing, Joel?
You're in Banbridge this morning. What would you like to say, Peter?
Well, I'm not a good public debater now, but I was glad to hear Jeffrey saying that admit they were wrong in Iraq, Afghanistan and Libya. But my really question is, what's the difference of being killed by a chemical strike in Syria and a hellfire missile strike in Afghanistan?
Yes, just to clarify, I don't think Geoffrey Johnson actually said that. He said, but they have learned and may have done things differently. And I specifically asked him about Iraq, but I just want to clear that
he
one up.
Say now that they made a mistake.
He may have done things differently, but I specifically asked about Iraq.
Jeffrey's crowd and are still killing people in Afghanistan. That's still a war crime, in my books.
No, that's not Jeffrey's crowd.
Well, Britain.
Yeah, but
in Afghanistan.
It's not the way you're phrasing that. I think you need to be very, very careful. You know, there's a difference between Jeffrey's crowd and what people might interpret that as, and UK forces. But I take it you mean the UK military.
Jeffrey does support them.
But he may have voted in favor of that in Afghanistan, and he didn't clarify that. But
well, I mean, you're still dead. It doesn't matter whether you're killed by a chemical strike or a hellfire missile strike. You're still dead.
You're focusing on this issue of whether, you know, chemical warfare takes it beyond the pale. You don't think it makes that much difference whether it's a chemical attack or whether it's any other sort of attack.
No, you're still dead.
Mm.
No difference at all.
So you would favour what Eamon McCann was advocating, would you, just before the news?
What was he saying?
Eamon was saying, do nothing, don't interfere, stop meddling and get out.
Well, I mean, when was the last successful war? There hasn't been one.
Okay, Tony's at Enniskillen this morning. Morning, Tony.
Hello, hi.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. Just a couple of things. I mean, first of all, I'm glad to see that British government rejected immediate military action, because I don't really know what sort of military action would intervention would change anything. I mean, I've lived and worked in the Middle East. I've travelled extensively there. And the problem with Syria is you're going to just replace one bad government with another. And, the people who are being, treated with the utmost cruelty and suffering at the hands of chemical weapons are just going to be suffering the same under a new regime, because the country is just a big mess. And then you have Iran, its bigger brother, who will, intervene against the West. If the West intervene there again, Hezbollah will go into Israel, as Jeffrey says. The whole thing will just stir it all up. I think what should happen is between Russia